This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to read group energy through body signals. Learn to decode what a room is really saying before anyone speaks. In short, after reading this guide, you will be able to read group energy through body signals and respond to what a room is actually feeling in real time. Scan for clusters of physical signals, not isolated movements. Distinguish between engagement, withdrawal, and tension in a group. Adjust your communication based on what the room's body is telling you. Definition: read group energy refers to the practice of observing collective physical signals, such as posture, proximity, and facial tension, across a group of people simultaneously to assess their true emotional and attentional state in a given moment. You walked into that meeting prepared. You had your points ready, your slides loaded, your confidence high. 3 minutes in, something felt wrong. People were looking away, arms were folded. The energy in the room had dropped like a stone. You pushed through anyway, talking faster, working harder, trying to recover what you could not name. By the end, you had said everything you planned. Nothing landed. That moment happens to people every day. The reason is not a lack of preparation. It is the inability to read group energy through body signals in real time. Most people have never been taught to observe a room the way a skilled communicator does. They focus on their own delivery while the group drifts further away. The deeper problem is this: we are taught to manage what we say, never what we see. We prepare our words, but not our eyes. And so the signals are there, plain and honest, and we miss every one of them. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for reading physical expression in groups that you can use immediately. If you want to understand how emotional awareness supports this kind of attunement, the role of emotional intelligence in team synergy is worth your time. Why reading physical signals in a group is harder than it looks. Knowing that body language matters is not the same as being able to read it under pressure. This gap between awareness and skill is exactly where most people get stuck. You might understand, in theory, that crossed arms signal discomfort or that leaning forward suggests interest. But in the middle of a presentation, a difficult conversation, or a team meeting, applying that knowledge is another matter entirely. Here is why this is genuinely difficult. You're managing your own performance at the same time. When you're speaking, presenting, or leading, a significant part of your attention is on yourself. Tracking the physical signals of 5 or 10 other people while doing that is a real cognitive load, and most people have never trained for it. Group signals are layered and contradictory. One person leaning forward while another leans back while a third is unreadable is the norm, not the exception. Making sense of a mixed room requires a method, not just intuition. We are wired to focus on the loudest voice, not the quietest body. Whoever is talking holds our attention. The people sitting silently, shifting in their seats or gradually withdrawing, are exactly the ones most worth watching. Fear of misreading makes people stop looking. If you act on a signal and get it wrong, you feel foolish. So many people learn, unconsciously, to stop observing rather than risk a mistake. No one teaches this in school, in leadership programs, or in most workplaces. Physical attunement is treated as a gift certain people have, not a skill anyone can build. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are 3 things that need to be clear. Number 1, a baseline for this group. You cannot recognize change if you do not know what normal looks like. Before any meeting or presentation, give yourself 2 minutes to observe how people carry themselves when nothing is at stake yet. Are they upright or slumped? Talking or quiet? Physically close or spread apart? That baseline is your reference point for everything that follows. Number 2, the habit of scanning, not staring. Reading a room is not about fixing your gaze on one person. It is about moving your attention slowly and deliberately across the group, returning to key individuals at intervals. Staring makes people self-conscious and distorts the signals you're trying to read. Scanning gives you information without interference. Number 3, a commitment to clusters, not single cues. One person crossing their arms means nothing on its own. 3 people crossing their arms in the same 10-minute window, combined with reduced eye contact, means something real. Train yourself from the start to look for patterns across multiple people before drawing any conclusion. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Establish your physical baseline. This step sets the reference point that makes every signal meaningful. Before you open your mouth to speak, before the agenda begins, use the first 60 to 90 seconds simply to observe. You are not analyzing yet. You are memorizing. You want to know what this group looks like when they are neutral. Notice who sits where. Notice how people hold their bodies when nothing has been asked of them. Notice proximity, who sits close together, who places distance between themselves and others. This is the physical map of the group at rest. Walk into the room a few minutes early and observe people as they arrive and settle. Note three or four individuals whose physical state you will track throughout: one who seems engaged, one who seems distracted, one you cannot read yet. Pay attention to how people arrange themselves spatially. Distance between people is itself a form of physical expression. Take a single mental snapshot of the overall room posture. Are most people upright and facing forward, or are they already turned away or leaning back? Here is what this looks like in practice. You arrive for a team briefing 5 minutes early. You notice that two colleagues have pulled their chairs back from the table slightly and are turned toward each other rather than the front. A third person is already checking their phone. One person is leaning forward, notebook open. You make a quiet mental note: three out of five are already somewhere else before you've said a word. That is your baseline. It tells you the room needs to be won, not simply informed. Once you have that baseline, you have something to measure against. Everything that shifts from that starting point is information. Step 2. Identify your anchor points. This step prevents the overwhelm of trying to watch everyone at once. Reading a full group simultaneously is not realistic, particularly when you are also speaking or leading. The solution is to select three or four anchor points, specific individuals whose physical state tends to reflect the wider group mood. Not the most vocal person, not the most senior. The ones in the middle of the social geography of the room. These anchor points become your real-time instruments. You return to them in rotation every few minutes to take a reading. Choose one person who you know tends to signal early when energy is shifting. They are usually someone mid-table, mid-hierarchy, and mid-engagement. Choose one person who is hard to read. They will require more observations before patterns emerge, but they are worth tracking. Choose one person who is likely to be resistant or disengaged. Their posture will give you early warning of wider withdrawal. Every few minutes during the conversation or presentation, do a brief mental check-in on each anchor point. Has anything changed since the last pass? Once you have anchor points, you stop trying to watch everyone and start watching the right people. The noise drops. The signal gets clearer. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Scan for gestural clusters. A single signal means almost nothing. A cluster of signals means a great deal. This is the core technical skill of reading group energy. When you observe one person scratching their neck, that is random. When three people simultaneously pull back from the table, fold their arms, and stop making eye contact within a 2-minute window, you're looking at a real collective physical response to something that just happened. Learning to see clusters rather than isolated gestures takes practice, but the method is straightforward. Watch for postural synchrony when multiple people adopt the same posture at the same time. They are often sharing the same internal state. Note what happened in the conversation just before a cluster appears. Clusters rarely arrive without a trigger. Distinguish between three categories of cluster engagement signals: leaning in, open posture, direct gaze, withdrawal signals: leaning back, arms crossed, gaze averted, and tension signals: rigid posture, tight facial muscles, shallow or visibly held breath. When you spot a cluster, do not react immediately. Observe for another 60 seconds to confirm the pattern is real and not coincidental. Here is an example. You have just shared a piece of difficult news with your team. A project deadline has moved forward by 2 weeks. Within 90 seconds, you notice that four people have shifted back in their chairs. Two are looking at their notepads rather than at you. One person's jaw has visibly tightened. That cluster of signals, postural withdrawal combined with gaze aversion and physical tension, tells you that the room is not processing this calmly. They are absorbing a shock. You know, now, that you cannot move to next steps yet. The room needs space before it can move forward. This is directly connected to the kind of collective stress response described in What is the Amygdala Hijack? And how it silently blocks team synergy in high-pressure moments. Once you can name what a cluster means, you can respond to it with precision rather than guessing. Step 4. Track shifts over time. It is not just what the room looks like now. It is what has changed since you started. A room that began open and engaged, but has gradually closed over 40 minutes is telling you something specific. A room that started guarded and has slowly opened is telling you something else entirely. The direction of change is as important as the current state. This step requires you to hold a rough timeline in your memory as the conversation progresses. Every 10 to 15 minutes, take a deliberate full room scan. Compare what you see now to what you observed at your baseline. Ask yourself one question: is the room more open or more closed than it was 20 minutes ago? Watch for tipping points, the moments when the energy of the room shifts sharply rather than gradually. These are usually responses to specific things said or decided. Note which individuals are driving the shift. When one person's posture changes and others begin to mirror it, that person is influencing the group's physical state. Tracking shifts gives you the ability to intervene early, before withdrawal becomes entrenched or tension becomes conflict. This connects directly to the early warning work described in Signs Your Team's Amygdala Hijack Problem is Destroying Synergy in Real Time. Step 5. Name what you see and respond. Reading signals is preparation. This step is where you act on what you have learned. Once you have identified a consistent cluster or a significant shift, you have a choice. You can push through and pretend you did not see it, which rarely ends well. Or you can name what you are observing, without blame, and invite the group to respond. Naming what you see is not a confrontation. It is an act of respect. It tells the room that you are paying attention, and that their physical reality matters more to you than your script. Use neutral, observational language. I notice the energy in the room has shifted. Let me pause here is a precise, non-threatening phrase that invites honesty. After naming, ask an open question. What is coming up for people right now? Or is there something we need to address before we continue? Adjust your physical pace. If the room is tense, slow down. If the room is disengaged, change your own physical posture first. Stand if you have been sitting. Move closer. When you spot one or two people who have been particularly closed or silent, create a specific opening for them. How to ensure every participant gets heard gives you a clear method for this. Here is what this sounds like in practice. You have noticed that three of your five team members have progressively withdrawn over the last 20 minutes of a feedback session. You say, I want to pause for a second. I'm getting the sense that something is not landing the way I intended it. Can we take a minute to check in? Two of the three people who had withdrawn immediately make eye contact. One of them says, honestly, this feels like a lot at once. That single sentence, drawn out by your observation and your willingness to name it, changes the entire trajectory of the session. For more on how empathy shapes this kind of moment, see how empathy bridges and team communication create the conditions for lasting synergy. Acting on what you see is what makes all of the observation mean something. Step 6. Adjust your own physical expression. You cannot read the room while broadcasting the wrong signals yourself. Your own posture, stillness, and physical presence shape what the group feels, and therefore what signals they send back to you. A communicator who is visibly tense or closed will produce a tenser, more closed group. This is the principle of physical mirroring, and it works whether you intend it or not. This step is about taking deliberate control of your own physical expression so that you are not accidentally generating the very signals you are trying to read. Before you speak, ground your physical stance. Feet flat, shoulders back, weight evenly distributed. This is not performance. It is a genuine physical state that communicates stability. When you detect withdrawal in the room, resist the urge to compensate by increasing intensity. Instead, slow your pace and open your posture. Give the room space rather than pressure. Make deliberate eye contact with the people who signals you are monitoring. Not intense staring, but the kind of steady attention that says you are present. If you are seated, lean forward slightly when you want to signal engagement and interest. Pull back slightly when you want to give others room to speak. Your physical expression and the group's physical expression are in constant conversation, whether or not a word is being spoken. Step 7. Build the habit through after-action review. One conversation is a data point. 50 conversations are a skill. The most powerful thing you can do after any meeting, presentation, or teen conversation is spend 5 minutes reviewing what you observed and whether your reading was accurate. This is how you calibrate your instincts over time and sharpen the skill of reading physical signals from something effortful into something natural. Immediately after a significant conversation, write down 2 or 3 physical clusters you observed and what you interpreted them to mean. Note the moments where you acted on what you saw. What happened as a result? Identify the moments where you noticed a signal but did not act. What held you back? Compare your reading with any feedback you received. Did people confirm what you thought you saw, or did the reality turn out to be different? Revisit your observations every few weeks to track your own development. You will start to notice patterns specific to certain people, certain group sizes, and certain types of conversation. The gap between someone who reads a room adequately and someone who reads it with real precision is mostly this: one of them reviews their observations and one does not. Building this kind of reflective habit also supports the psychological safety that allows groups to be more physically honest with you over time. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid meetings. Remote meetings strip away most of the physical information you would normally rely on. That makes this context worth addressing directly. When half your group is on screen and half is in the room, or when everyone is remote, the signals are still there. They are just compressed, partial, and easier to miss. You need to adjust how you look, not abandon looking altogether. Narrow your focus to what the camera shows. In a remote setting, you can only see someone from roughly the shoulders up. That makes facial expression, head position, and upper body posture your primary instruments. Watch for tightness in the jaw, furrowed brows, slight backward tilts of the head, and downward gazes that suggest someone is reading something else rather than listening. Watch for camera-off behavior as a signal. When someone who normally keeps their camera on suddenly stops doing so, or when multiple people in the same meeting switch off within minutes of each other, that is a form of physical withdrawal worth noticing. It does not always mean disengagement, but in clusters, it is worth addressing gently. Use deliberate pauses as a reading tool. In a physical room, you can scan during someone else's speaking turn. Online, this is harder. Build short, intentional pauses into the conversation. Let me stop there for a second gives you a moment to check faces before moving on. Ask for physical responses when words are too slow. Thumbs up if this is landing. Thumbs down if it is not as a clumsy tool in person, but surprisingly effective on screen. It converts physical expression into readable signal quickly. The quality of emotional intelligence and feedback conversations depends on the same attentiveness you are building here. The core process of scanning, clustering, and responding holds in every context. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: reacting to a single signal as if it were conclusive evidence. Why it happens? Single signals are easy to spot, and once you see one, confirmation bias kicks in hard. What to do instead? Hold your interpretation loosely until you have seen a cluster of at least 3 consistent signals from multiple people. The mistake: watching the most dominant or vocal person and calling that reading the room. Why it happens? Dominant voices draw attention naturally, and it feels like you are engaged with the group when you track them. What to do instead? Deliberately redirect your scanning to the quieter, mid-table individuals. They carry the true temperature of the group. The mistake: naming what you see in a way that makes people feel accused. Why it happens? We phrase observations as diagnoses. You all look bored instead of "I notice the energy has shifted." What to do instead? Use genuinely neutral, first-person language. Describe what you observe, not what you conclude from it. The mistake: trying to scan the room and manage your own performance simultaneously from the very start. Why it happens? People attempt to apply this skill all at once before it is natural, and the cognitive overload causes both to suffer. What to do instead? Start by scanning at only 2 or 3 points during a conversation, not continuously. Build the habit gradually. The mistake: ignoring your own body while reading others. Why it happens? We treat ourselves as observers rather than participants in the physical dynamic. What to do instead? Check your own posture and facial expression at intervals. Your physical state is shaping what you're trying to read. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each session. I arrived early enough to observe the group before the conversation began. I established a physical baseline for this specific group before speaking. I selected 3 or 4 anchor points to track throughout the session. I scanned in deliberate passes rather than focusing on one person. I watched for clusters of at least 3 consistent signals before interpreting. I tracked how the room's physical state changed over time, not just in the moment. I adjusted my own posture and pace in response to what I observed. I named a shift in energy at least once when it was significant enough to address. I created space for quieter or more withdrawn individuals to contribute. I completed a brief after-action review within an hour of the session ending. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a structured process for reading group energy that moves beyond vague instinct and into clear, repeatable practice. You can observe a room deliberately, identify what its physical signals mean, and respond in ways that actually change the dynamic. Reading group energy begins before you speak. Your baseline observation shapes everything that follows. Anchor points prevent overwhelm and give you a reliable set of physical instruments to track. Clusters of signals, not isolated gestures, are the only reliable unit of interpretation. Tracking shifts over time tells you whether the room is opening or closing. I went to intervene. Naming what you see, with neutral language, is an act of respect that unlocks honesty. Your own physical expression is always part of what you are reading. You are never just an observer. After action review is what converts single observations into a lasting, calibrated skill. From here, I would suggest deepening your understanding of how fear and stress compromise what a group is willing to show you physically. What is psychological safety? And how it drives team synergy is directly relevant. If you work in feedback conversations, emotional intelligence in feedback conversations will help you apply what you have learned here in high stakes, one-to-one or small group settings. To read group energy well is to practice one of the oldest forms of human attention, the willingness to see what is true in a room rather than what you hoped would be there. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to read group energy through body signals? To read group energy through body signals means observing the collective physical cues of a group, such as posture, facial tension, and proximity, to understand how people are actually feeling. It goes beyond what is said aloud and gives you real, usable information about engagement, resistance, or redness in the room. How do you read group energy in a meeting or presentation? You read group energy by scanning the room in structured passes, watching for clusters of signals rather than isolated movements. Look for changes in posture, where people direct their gaze, and whether people are leaning in or pulling back. Patterns across multiple people tell you far more than any single signal. What are the most reliable body signals for reading group energy? The most reliable signals are postural shifts, crossed arms combined with reduced eye contact, and changes in proximity between people. A single cue means little. When 3 or more people show the same physical signal at the same time, that cluster tells you something real and actionable about the group's current state. Can you read group energy in remote or hybrid meetings? Yes, though it requires deliberate adjustment. In remote settings, focus on facial tension, upper body posture visible on camera, and how quickly people respond verbally. Watch for people who stop turning their camera on or who consistently look away from the screen. These are withdrawal signals worth noticing and addressing. How do you respond once you've read group energy through body signals? Once you have read the group energy, name what you observe without blaming anyone. Adjust your pace, invite participation from quieter voices, or pause to address tension directly. Acting on what you see, rather than pushing through, is what separates a communicator who connects from one who simply broadcasts. Is reading body language the same as reading group energy? Reading individual body language and reading group energy are related, but different skills. Individual body language focuses on one person at a time. Reading group energy means tracking collective physical patterns across multiple people simultaneously, which tells you about the room as a whole, not just one individual within it. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling books that you write every time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.